Yashoda Nana, La Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Bana Chari. Jamuna Tira Bana Chari. Jayarata Madhav Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balava Giri Vagadari Jamuna Tira Bana Chari Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Assembled devotees. Glory to Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, thank you all for coming and enjoying the association of the Supreme Lord here in his wonderful deity form, so nicely taken care of here in New Ramanreti. A lot of dedication to serving their lordships here. Right now, because of the heat and because of other reasons, many people are on vacation. Kids are out of school, and we find that a lot of people aren't here because they're out on vacation. So we're going to talk a little bit about the dedication of the devotees to our Supreme Lord. We're going to talk a little bit about this through some little bit of vacation that I have attended lately. So first of all, we'll pay our obeisances to the Supreme Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Our glories, Supreme Lord, our glories to Srila Prabhupada, my obeisances to him and to all the Vaishnavas. Hopefully I can say something inspiring. As I was saying, that it is vacation time. I know that many people go just to get out of the heat, which is as in the heat and humidity in Florida. Also to spend some time, bond with their relatives, maybe just to change the scenery or get rid of some stress. So I had a opportunity to go a couple places recently, and for different reasons. Actually, I got an invitation to Vrindavan to the 50th anniversary of the opening of the temple there, the Ramanriti. Here we are in New Ramanriti, but the Ramanriti temple in Vrindavan is very wonderful, and I happened to be there when it was opened in 1950. So it was the 50th anniversary, and I was invited to come. And it was really a wonderful experience. Panchagoda's not here, but I would like to thank him for a wonderful festival. It was nonstop festival. I mean, everything you could think of, they could fit in a week or so of celebration, they did, and more. People were pretty exhausted afterwards, but in bliss, because it was so nice to have the Association of Devotees. But the best part, I thought, was when the devotees would tell their remembrances of the first days of opening that temple and the struggles that they went through. And it was a wonderful display of being so dedicated to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. There were many older devotees there that were actually there during those first few days of opening the temple. And the stories that came out of there either made you cry or they made you laugh, hilariously laugh, because they were so funny, or else your jaw dropped open because you couldn't believe what they had to do to please Srila Prabhupada. It was really wonderful. So we'll talk a little bit more about that dedication as we go along. I actually promised my granddaughter for her graduation from college that I would take her somewhere. And so I asked, where do you want to go? And my daughter was going to go along also. So they chose Greece and Albania. So I've never been there before. I like to do things differently. And I usually like to travel because I like to look at the differences in culture, especially in the religious and architectural and just the way they live. I try to get ideas for the eco farm out here of how maybe they live a little bit more simply, or a little bit more less dependent on technology, which is hard to find these days. But anyway, we journeyed to Athens, and it was a nice time of year. It wasn't too hot. Very nice place, very cultural, and very personal. They, of course, worship many, many demigods, which are, as in Bhagavad Gita, it says that the worship of the demigods are the administrators of the universes, that they make advancement, although they don't worship God directly, they worship the demigods, they actually make advancement up to where they can eventually understand that all I have to do is worship God and then everybody is pleased. I don't have to worship all the demigods. But they did. They were very acute and very amazing how they worshiped so many different demigods. Of course, Athena is where Athens comes from, in the big Parthenon on a huge hill in the middle of the city. We stayed in the city in an upper floor, and you could look out, and if you could just like, I was trying to picture all the buildings gone, and I think with the buildings gone at that time, everyone could see the temple up there, and I could imagine in the morning that everyone would immediately, you know, think of praying and bowing down, and that culture is very rich in many places, even though it's not directly towards God, but it's just bowing down and praying to understand that there is someone higher than us. We're not the Supreme Lord by any means, and it's very humbling. So that was nice to get that mood that a long time ago that the Greeks worshiped many, many gods. There's so many statues there, all made out of marble, huge statues. Athena was actually the god who was kind of like our Saraswati, full of knowledge. They really loved her. But she also was a warrior. There was one place where she was depicting fighting with the person, the personification of earthquakes. And she was angry at them. So I guess there were earthquakes back then, too. So she was angry trying to get rid of this earthquake lady or man, whoever it was. So it's actually, they had a lot of understanding of afterlife, too. Most of the statues were given as gifts to put in the cemeteries, and so many different sacrifices were made. So it was a religious type of culture, which Prabhupada said is civilized. And now that out of that civilized culture became many philanthropists, many philosophers. You can go one museum and see the busts of at least 100, 200 different very famous philosophers, even that are studied today. Speculators, yes. But anyway, they were great thinkers, and it came out of this society. So it was interesting to see that. And then, of course, the Parthenon itself is trying to be fixed right now. They have cranes and all kinds of things holding it up and trying to put cement and trying to fix it, because at one point it was a place where they kept ammunition and all caught on fire, and then it almost all got disintegrated. So they're trying to restore that. But the Parthenon was not just for demigod worship. It was later worshipped by the Romans took it over, and then the Muslims took it over, and then it was a church. So many different things. And I found out that the tolerance of other religions is not the way it really should be in Greece. The devotees there have had some problems with establishing Krishna consciousness as an institution. It's better now. I had a hard time finding the devotees. I finally found a building, but it was, I guess it's a meeting place, and it wasn't open. But it's a place where you can understand that the people are living a little bit simpler than we are here in the West. Everyone hangs their clothes out on the line, even in the city. They don't bother with dryers. And they don't have many cars because there's no place for them. And they ride bikes a lot, especially in Albania. Everyone rode bikes. It was so nice, so quiet, and it was really pleasant to see that people can get by without having 2-3 cars in their parking lot. And it seems like they were a little bit, maybe a little bit more content, I don't know. But one thing that struck out was that early in the morning, you could hear church bells chiming so many times during the day. And then at the same time, you could hear at the mosques the prayers of the Muslims. And so it was like it was just very uplifting to hear all this. And then in the city, also has many marketplaces where you get the most wonderful fruits and vegetables. It's not like there's not very many grocery stores. Everyone just goes to the market one day a week with their little baby carriage things and stuff it full of everything and go home. Much more simple life. But in the countryside, it's full of olive trees. Actually, the olive tree was worshipped. Kind of like we worship Tulsi Devi, they worship the olive tree. And also many vineyards. You could actually taste real grapes. You know, they were purple and they tasted like purple. They tasted like grapes. So it was nice in some ways. But when you think about it, are they really more content? Are they really, completely satisfied? According to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that there is always different miseries in life, and they begin with the mind, and everyone has a mind, and everyone has a body, so there's miseries of the body, and then there's differences between different people, and so there's that misery also, and then there's, of course, the climate change and the tornadoes and the hurricanes and the floods and everything else is going around. So it's not that we can escape the material world. The material world is there, west or east. Plus the hankering and the lamenting that goes on within the conditioned soul. We're always trying to either get ahead of ourselves to be better than the next person, or else we're trying to you know, break some record or be, you know, famous. I think it's called name, fame, glory, the same old story. You know, we're all after that. And so when Prabhupada was in Japan, he was visiting the place where we were having our books made. Dainapan, it was called. And there was a big meeting of all the personnels there that worked with Dainapan. And at the end, Prabhupada was asking one of the gentlemen, all nicely, you know, nicely dressed and everything, said, "So what is your goal of life?" And the gentleman said, he goes, he had a stack of all the cards of the different people. Everyone was giving him his cards, and he goes, and he took his card and he put it on the top. And he says, "I want to be on the top." And so everyone is always hankering for more than they really need. And this is not healthy, materially or spiritual, because we have unlimited desires. We have to admit it. It's very difficult to satisfy all of them. But the devotee, he wants to be on the bottom. He wants to be the bottom card. Lord Chaitanya says, simply the servant of the servant, das anudas. I just want to serve the other devotees, serve everybody else, and I'll be happy that way. And when you're lower, it's a shorter way to fall. When you're up high, it's a lot longer to have to fall down. So the devotee wants to be simply satisfied in his real occupation, which is eternal servant of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, it says that the process of bhakti is everlasting and is joyfully performed. As we see here, you know, the guys over here are running around having a great old time. You know, it can go on forever. You don't get tired of it. Unfortunately, it has to stop. So we have to listen to me. But anyway, the process of bhakti is a win-win situation. We're joyful now, and we're going to be joyful in the future forever and ever. So this is the best way to become happy. And Krishna recognizes, especially those devotees that are dedicated to his services, he sees them, and he points them out. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita. It's near the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. And it says, "One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God." So Krishna notes those devotees that are very dedicated in serving him with all their heart, soul, mind, word, and deed. And he gives them understanding by which you can come to him. And here he's guaranteeing that he'll bring you back to Godhead if you just stay very sincere. So this is the goal of life that we should work on. But it doesn't just start with, you know, full dedication. First, you feel some obligation to the spiritual master, maybe do some service, hear from him, and then you can become a disciple, discipline, get purified, get initiated. And then by taking that vow, that's like a bond of trust. And a bond of trust is actually what dedication really means. It means that you rely on each other. We rely on Prabhupada, and he's relying on us. That is a bond that will only increase and become the glue that sticks us all together. So this is something that can grow very, very deep, and it's like lines in a stone. You can't erase them. In Albania and in Greece too, there's no sandy beaches. It's all round, smooth stones. They're really beautiful stones, and many of them have lines in them. No way you can get that line out. No way. You can rub and rub and rub forever. But so dedication to the spiritual master and this love for Krishna, it's not going to go away. It's going to stay there forever. How many of you ever been on a hike? Hiked in the woods? I think most everybody's been on a hike. So we went to Albania mainly for hiking, because there's a road that goes, my granddaughter was driving, I had to sit in the back praying to Krishna. Anyway, it was sharp turns. I mean, hairpin turns, you know what that means? It just completely goes one way and then turns around the other way on a 1.5 lane road. And it went up the, like this for about up to 3,000 feet. Took about an hour or more, and you know, you have to stop and you know, hope that you don't go off. And anyway, but the road stops dead. The road ends at a place called Teth that is just for people that like to hike. And so all the whole facility is there for hikers. So we went there. And of course, when you decide to, you know, to go on a hike, you usually have a goal in mind. I think there's one thing in Spain where people go off and they make it, takes many, many months and everything. But they take this vow that I'm going to make it, or I'm going to go to this point, or I'm going to go to that point. And so this is very much like ourselves when we want to decide that we want to go back to home, back to Godhead, that we take a vow that we're going to stay on the path of bhakti and meet that goal someday. Like when we were in Albania, one day we decided we were going to go to a waterfall. And the next day, we're going to go to this point. And then the next day, we're going to go to the Blue Eye Pond and things like that. But we chose our path very carefully. And we became prepared. We didn't want to take a lot of luggage with us. Even on the trip, we just had a carry-on bag. That's all we took the whole trip. But when we went out hiking, we just took water. That's about it. You know, we didn't want to carry anything heavy. So the same way in bhakti, we can't take a lot of luggage with us if we want to go back home, back to Godhead. We have to give up our anarthas, all the things that are not healthy, all of our attachments to so many things. And then we can be free, because you can't grab onto Krishna if you're still grabbing onto Maya and the illusion of this material world. You have to be free of that. So this is it can be a very rigorous trail, but we have to promise to keep our feet on, and just take what we need in devotional service, the holy name, and a lot of nice service and service to the devotees. And give up all those anarthas. And the most important thing to take with us on our trip back to Godhead is the holy name. The holy name is so important. You may have heard of Vishnujana Swami. He made a very nice translation to a song that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang. It was called Kabhi Habhi Bola Se Dinar Mar. It's about the holy name, about how we should appreciate the holy name. And this is a couple of his translations I always like because they were in poetry. When, oh, when will that my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing? When in my heart will your mercy shine? When, oh, when will that day be mine? Lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, when will my mind attain this quality? Respectful to all, not expecting their honor, then shall I taste the name's nectar sublime. I have that taste for the holy name. So when will that day be mine? So we should be thinking also on this path of bhakti that I need that holy name to get me through. We need the association devotees, Sankirtan, getting together and glorifying God. I'm sure that's what they did in Greece. Everyone came together. And in any rich community that's civilized and worshiping God, coming together makes it very easy and gives us strength to reach our goal. And, of course, Lord Chaitanya recommended this chanting to bring us all together. We get to use our talents for using instruments. We get to dance, like she likes to dance. So many different ways we can participate. So this is something we should always take with us wherever we go in Krishna consciousness. And then when we got up to the hiking place, we're up about 5,000 feet up in the air. It was pretty rigorous figure out what we were going to do. And bhakti also, it goes not just in this lifetime, but it goes past this universe. The process of devotional service goes even past liberation. It goes past impersonal understanding. It goes past even the Viraja River. It goes past Vaikuntha. It takes you all the way to Krishna's doorstep. So this is what we should choose and stay on that path. When we went up to the waterfall, it was it was really a rough, you know, climb. I was hanging on little teeny pieces of roots, hanging out, you know, and hanging and making sure the rocks weren't going to fall out from underneath me. And some people were passing. We were coming down, which can even be harder. And some people were coming up, and they go, what's it going to be like up there? And I said, don't worry. It only gets worse. And I said, if I can do it, you can do it. And they go, yeah, that's okay. You're doing good. And so I said, it's worth it. And so it's worth it. Even though bhakti devotional service might seem difficult at times, it's worth it. We get to actually see Krishna. I mean, in where we went to the waterfall, it was gorgeous. I mean, just, you know, picturesque, beautiful, everything, you know. That's Krishna's external energy, but Krishna's internal energy, can we imagine what that's like? Full of Shakti, full of Krishna in every way, and get to personally see him. So, yeah, it might get a little worse, don't worry, but at the end, we'll be happy. And then, what did we do? Oh, then we went to, and then we got rained on a little bit one day. So we can expect to, you know, that these things will happen, but if we keep steady on the path, then it's just a brief few minutes, and then we can understand that what I'm doing now is an eternal benefit. It's not just a long, you know, just today I'm doing this, but whatever we do in service is long-lasting. And as it also, you know, Maya will come. She sees that you're doing very nicely, and then so she'll send a little test, and she'll test how you're doing. And then you have to make sure that you don't deviate, because deviation is the opposite of dedication. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself just like now when you go hiking, you take your phone. Everyone had their phone, you know, to make sure that you didn't get lost. Has anyone got lost hiking? I did one time. I panicked, you know. I was just like, oh, my gosh, you know, which way do I go? So now you have your phones, you know, your satellite, where exactly where you are. So sometimes Maya will throw some things. So we have to make sure that we have the instructions of the spiritual master, very carefully understand how to get rid of Maya, keep with a very strong sadhana, and understand that if we follow the spiritual master, and we take shelter of the devotees in this movement, then we're sure to stay on the path and to make it back home. It's a very nice example of the strength of devotees and how they can give a helping hand, because sometimes on the path, I needed a helping hand sometimes, and everyone was always was happy to help. But here, like, Maya has a tendency to are there any youth here, any teenagers here? Anyway, I've dealt with teenagers for many years, and Maya attacks them at certain times. They have their difficulties. But there's a nice couple here, Manaram and Jayashree Radhe. For years, they've understood that the best thing to do is engage the youth in Krishna consciousness, take them on these bus tours. And so now his bus broke down. He's putting out his hand, saying, please, society, help save these kids. And he is. And it's so nice to see he's raising like $500,000, you know, just out of the sincere desire of the devotees to see that our youth become very strong and become Krishna conscious. So this is the advantages of staying in the association of devotees. And each day my daughter was real happy when we got back, and that she was concerned that I would fall, because the rocks are really, you know, it's just like, everyone has these sticks for walking. I didn't have any sticks. I just had sandals, and, you know, I'm not too young anymore. And so they went, phew, she made it that day. Okay, and the next day, phew, she made it that day. And then the third day, when we got back, I made it through the whole thing. It was okay. And Krishna's blessings. And then we go back to the capital of Albania, called Tirana, and we took a cable car ride up to a mountain that's right near the city. It was a long cable car ride, went way, way up there, and then you could hike up there. So, okay, more hiking. All right, so we were thinking, okay, let's just go around the mountain on level ground you know, and I thought, okay, yeah, that's real nice. It was really nice. It was really comfortable. You didn't have to worry about, you know, going up, oh, hanging on this or falling or anything like that. So I thought. And so I'm thinking, oh, I can just, I don't have to look down. I don't have to look down. I can look forward. I can stand up straight because I don't have to worry about, you know. And sure enough, boom, I fell down. Nothing serious, but it was just like a joke. You know, you think in serving Krishna that I've got it together. You know, I've got my sadhana together. I've got it together. Everything's laid out. You know, I've got my old age. I've got my plan for this and that. And then, boom, Maya, come here, tantalizing you. Come this way. Come here. Come waste some time doing this. Waste time doing that. So we have to not let down our guard and be very cautious in our devotional service and hang on to the devotees very tightly, especially chant our 16 rounds and steadily attend the morning program and read Prabhupada's book and take shelter of the holy name. I know that during the rainstorm it started lightning, and you don't want to be on a mountain when it's lightning. And I was thinking, and I started running down, and that's when I really chanted Hare Krishna. You know, whenever something happens or the plane starts to drop, Hare Krishna, right? And so we should always be in that consciousness that at any time, padam padam, vipadam, you know, there's danger at every step. So we should be very, very careful and help remind each other. So Krishna sees our determination, and he's willing to help. He's always there for us. He's there in the instructions. He's there on the altar. He's there in your heart. He's there in the devotee association. He's there in the holy name. He's always there for us, so we have to be there for him. Think about it. How much of the day are you there for Krishna? How much are you there for the deities? How much are you chanting? How much are you honoring prasadam? How much are you serving the devotees? So we should understand that this bhakti is a reciprocation, that we develop this exchange of loving service. And he's doing his part. We just need to do our part. And so this is a few thoughts. And just one last little thing that happened in my house. Maybe it happens in your house too. That in the summer, sometimes your door might get cracked open and a lizard comes in. And you think, and the lizard's all happy, he's excited, he's, oh, a new place to explore, oh, how exciting, he runs all over, and you're thinking, oh boy, you're going to be really sorry because in a few days you're going to find this crunchy little lizard, you know, underneath my refrigerator or something like that. You're sure of it, you know. But the lizard is thinking, I'm going to enjoy. In the same way, we find ourselves here in the material world. We think, oh, I'm going to explore. I'll find something exciting in here to do. And then comes the struggle. The lizard doesn't find anything in water, doesn't find any bugs to eat. And, you know. So I had a lizard come in the other day, and I thought, oh, you poor thing. Let me help you get out. No, 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 I don't need help. I'm fine. And then he starts to struggle. And I have these blinds, and he's sitting on the blinds. The first day, he's sitting on the blinds and he's looking outside because there's a bush right there, green, you know. And then I try to catch him and he goes, and he hides inside the screen or something like that. And then the next day, he's sitting in the exact same place and he's looking out the window, looking at all the leaves and look at the bugs out there. And I try to catch him. No, I don't need help. No, I'm fine. I'm good. No, I don't need that book. I'm fine. I don't need to chant Hare Krishna, right? And he goes away, and I try to find him. Next day, third day, he's sitting in the exact same place. I'm going, what's with you, you know? And he's just like, he's weak now. And he's looking out the window thinking, that's my home out there. And so we have to understand that here we struggle. It's a place of struggle. I don't care, you know, live simply or not. It's not easy out there in the eco farm trying to live simply, I tell you. Struggle for existence is there. It's because it's not our home. We don't belong here. We belong in the spiritual world. Finally, the lizard, because he was a little weak, I pushed him down and I thought, okay, the only way to get him out is if I push out my screen. So I pushed out the screen, and he went out, and I'm sure he was very happy. So we shouldn't come to that point where we have to be pushed out. I mean, we can wait till the mercy comes, and maybe we'll become Krishna conscious spontaneously, but best we take up the help of the spiritual master and of this process and be happy. It's a joyful process, and we should try to encourage other people to take it up. Thank you. Anyone have any questions or anything they'd like to add? Sorry, it's not too...
Any question, comment, reflection?
Philosophical, but... Back there, Vegavati. Vegavati is over there, has a question. And I suggest if you want to take a vacation out of the material world, just stick to International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
When you were talking about chanting, coming down in a plane so the plane doesn't crash, you reminded me, Swarga and I went up to Gita Nagari for the Bhakti Tirthamaraj festival last weekend or the weekend before. It was a short flight, but the two ladies in front of us were so loud and just mundane, loud talk the whole time. And it was getting really annoying. As we started descending, Swarga was like fed up, and she started singing Hare Krishna, so I joined her. We both started singing. The lady in front of me, hold this for a second, the lady in front of me is like doing like this with her hands. Her friend turned around looking and smiling, and they stopped talking. And we were just singing. So then we were thinking, okay, well, that worked out. And then we were going to rent a car, right? So we're sitting in the rent-a-car place, and here come the same two ladies. And the one came over and asked us, do you always do that when you land? And I said, oh, we do it. We chant when somebody gets married. We chant when they're born. We chant when they're died. She said, oh, my friend said, you just did it to get us to stop talking. We didn't say anything. I had one of those trifolds that Bhishma Dev made with the two websites and the mantra twice, and she was actually really nice. And she was open. Oh, that spiritual or whatever. So that worked out.
Nice. I just wanted to thank you for...
Holy name works for everything.
I just wanted to thank you for using your everyday experiences, what's happening for you in the here and now, to... correlate that into a lesson, you know, in Krishna consciousness or seeing Krishna everywhere. So thank you.
That's the advantage of Krishna consciousness, is that we can take it with us wherever we go. We can see Krishna in so many different ways. That's what Krishna consciousness means. And so we should be very thankful to Prabhupada that we're in this magical process. Okay, so thank you very much, and enjoy magical prasadam. Hare Krishna.